Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Pump Site Geek tonight, the national championship game in college football. And I believe we have eight different channels that ESPN is offering. I'm not making that up. We're going to go through each one of those. Because all of you consume sports differently. It's Clemson, it's Alabama. I pretty much can guarantee you it'll be better than most of the slop that was on the TV over the last 2 days that was termed NFL football. Those games were just painful, other than last night's game with Green Bay. And maybe it's because I'm watching Odell Beckham knowing what's coming. He's just going to get crushed. He's going to get annihilated for his boat trip. Just knowing that, but seeing Aaron Rodgers throw another Hail Mary, the other games were just not good. If you're a fan of those teams, then you're pleased. I mean, really, if you're a fan of Houston and the Raiders, did I watch? There's this thing called a DVR. It's a wonderful invention. You can zip right through all the crapola. You can be done in 30 minutes and get on with your life. 40 minutes, maybe. And that game was just, God, it was dreadful. And then the Seahawks-Lions game, like 5 minutes in, it's the better team is the team that's here at home. And there's really not a whole lot of intrigue about this. The official blows the opening call in the game. And from there on, it was just a train wreck on the officiating end of things. I mean, if I had a Lions fan saying, come on, Brad, the NFL wants, is Tim Donaghy reffing this game? You know, it was just brutal. And then yesterday morning, you know, Miami had no shot, no chance at all. Grounded up quarterback. Matt Moore takes a hit for the ages. And so that game wasn't anything special. And, you know, the late game wasn't anything special, but there is something I think about Green Bay. I like watching them play. I'm not a fan of a team. It's like I sit there and say, oh, go team. I would have been fine if the Giants had did something. If Odell Beckham catches, I don't know, two or three of those balls, it's a completely different game. But he didn't. Like when Dominic Rogers-Cromartie went down early in the game with a knee injury, I'm thinking, and he's been graded out as one of the top corners in the league, and he's not here in Arizona anymore, and we don't like revisionist history, but facts are facts. He looked pretty good opposite Patrick Peterson. I know that's not how the game is played, but that's how I watch it. That's how I consume it. For everybody saying Eli is special, Eli wasn't special yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was special. Honestly, those games, it's not like you look at any of them and say, well, this is one for the ages. This is one I've got to review. I've got to watch. There was a college basketball game Saturday night. Some of you probably saw it. It was on social media yesterday, very heavy, that was infinitely better than the NFL playoff games. It was the final minutes of Nevada against New Mexico. Nevada was down like 18 with a minute and a half to go, and they came all the way back and won the game in overtime. Infinitely more interesting. So, you know, we move on to the next round of the playoffs, and I think there's some very compelling matchups, but for Green Bay to put up 38 and not have Jordy Nelson as they did yesterday. But the first weekend was just, and here's how it works in the playoffs now in the NFL. It is the haves and have nots. It is whose quarterback didn't get hurt. There is that. And then the second round of the playoffs, things begin to balance out. I think they're more evenly matched. But it's not like I look at the Houston Texans and say, oh, they're definitely going to be a team. If Houston makes it, it's purely because of their defense, which is really good. Their defense is really, really good. But watching Brock Osweiler toil and tussle with himself out on the field, he made one good throw to DeAndre Hopkins down the right sidelines. That was it. So let's not sit here and get all wound up about, you know, how great that stuff is. Alabama-Clemson tonight should be terrific. The fact that the coordinator of Alabama was blown out last week in Lane Kiffin, and Steve Sarkisian is there tonight, and those of us that follow college football, you're a college football fan, you remember Sark from USC, remember how ASU laid it on SC, Sark gets blown out, Sark's on the beach hanging out, Sark gets picked up, he's got his own demons to deal with. And now tonight, here he is, calling plays for a quarterback that isn't the best at throwing it downfield, in my humble opinion, Jalen Hurts. He's a terrific player. A year ago, he's in high school. And you change the voice in the head. That, to me, is far more interesting. Garrick, did you see any of the NFL? Am I off on this one?
No, you're not off.
Yeah?
We punted during second half of Green Bay and who'd they play again?
The Giants.
I'm just kidding.
You punted during that one?
Yeah, we punted during the second half of that for a Law & Order SUV marathon on USA.
just out.
And I just came back. We came back to it during one of the commercials, and I didn't watch hardly any of the playoffs. But I did catch the end of the Nevada-New Mexico game, and it was incredible.
It was epic.
I'm sure most of the country wasn't up
that late on
ESPN2 watching a Mountain West basketball game. But if that's the way the rest of the college basketball season may head, it's going to be a really exciting March Madness. And, oh, by the way, it just happens to be here this year, the Final Four.
So if you haven't, you know, Eric and I are sitting here talking about Nevada and New Mexico. All you do is go Google it. Really not that hard, okay? Just go Google Nevada, New Mexico basketball ending. And there's enough out there where they just push the clips together. It's like seven plays that show how big of a hole Nevada was in. It was the most amazing comeback. And it shows you got to make free throws, one. But two, they just kept jacking up threes.
Oh, and they banked in three threes in the last 90 seconds.
Yeah.
They banked in three threes.
Yeah, I mean, that was the highlight of the weekend, I thought. There's some interesting things that happened over the weekend. I watched the Suns last night.
As did I.
I'll get to them in a minute. You know, the Odell Beckham stuff. So the tabloid headlines today in New York are just a barrel of laughs. If you're not aware, Odell Beckham last week decided to go down to Florida. And Aaron Rodgers throws another Hail Mary. So there's one side of it. Hail no. Here's the other side. There's Odell Beckham and all of his guys. It's playoff week. So I'm going to Miami, man. I'm going out on a yacht. I'm going to take my shirt off, and I'm going to show you how ripped I am. Look at me. I am all that. And then I'm going to go into the game, and I'm going to blow. So we're shipwrecked. Yacht. That's just the best.
Do you really think that had an impact on how he played yesterday? I personally don't. I think it had more to do with the fact that it was 1 degree and the fact that Eli, although he did drop a couple balls, Eli was but he was all over the place. He wasn't exactly consistent with where the ball was going. Yes, Odell Beckham should have made most of those catches.
Yeah.
And of course, the story gets blown up because he goes out and he goes on a boat and puts it out on social media like an idiot. Can you see Larry Fitzgerald doing that? Or any of these high... get it, Brad. I mean, wide receivers are divas. This shouldn't surprise people. Yeah.
But then again, I couldn't imagine Michael Floyd being out at 2 o'clock in the morning, not knowing which street he was on.
Great point. Well, you know what? We'll all be celebrating when he gets his Super Bowl ring here in a few
weeks. When he gets a Super Bowl ring, it's just going to be a barrel of laughs here in Arizona. I mean, it's just everything that's wrong with sports. And for those of you that want to defend somebody like that out on the roadways, then I guess you don't have kids.
Yeah, we're going to reward your recklessness.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. No, would Larry Fitzgerald do that? No. In this day and age of social media, here's the downside of this. As this is happening, guys that are in my chair, in your seat, are loving it because you just see it. I mean, you just see, okay, that's very low-hanging fruit that I have to address it. You can't just ignore it. And B, you know, was it because he went down there and partied on the yacht or not? Rather than the X's and the O's. The X's and the O's on this are pretty amazing to me that Aaron Rodgers does another Hail Mary. He throws four touchdown passes to Randall Cobb, who'd been non-existent for about the last 2 years. If you're a Packer fan, you know I'm right on that one. Jordy Nelson took a hit that you don't want to take, and he could barely get over to the side. He was knocked into the sidelines, and we didn't see him the rest of the day. So you take out Jordy Nelson, who a year ago when Aaron Rodgers didn't have Jordy Nelson, they weren't good. And so now you take the Giants and you chew them up and you spit them out. Then you get this deal with Beckham, his banging his head against the door, punching a wall. And all we're going to get in the entire offseason is Odell Beckham, should he have been on the yacht? We'll debate it with the guys coming up next. We'll get a hot take if Odell should have been on the boat or not next.
And it's the perfect storm because he's Odell Beckham, because
it's
he plays in New York, and because that was the featured game of the wild card weekend. I mean, if Jarvis Landry of the Dolphins did something like this, do you think we'd get nearly the outrage? No, of course
no.
not.
No.
Of course not.
It's the whole thing. If John Brown did it for the Arizona
Correct.
Cardinals.
Correct.
Come on. Let's be honest here. So it gives them something to do and something to kick around in the offseason back there. Now over to the Suns. So I'm watching them last night. I'm watching the Golden Globes, which were interesting. I'm with my wife and with my kids. And then it hit me. Oh, yeah, the Cavs are in town. And Jordan was down there at the game. So I didn't need to go. I didn't have any desire to go. I've seen LeBron play plenty of times. I turn it on. The Suns are on pace to give up 70 in the first half. Like, it was going to be their highest scoring half. They were so bad. And every play was, it looked to me like was a layup or a dunk by the Cavaliers. They didn't do a Scottsdale night, even though they had Saturday night free in Scottsdale. They were really good. And then the Suns come all the way back. I've got Paula here in a few minutes. I want to talk to Paula about this. I try not to make too much out of NBA January basketball. If this does anything at all for the Suns to build what little of any confidence they have in a team that's been torn all the way down, that's not very good in any way, shape, or form, has some nice individual players, but is not a team. So do anything at all to have a close loss, to come all the way back when they were just dead, they were rolled over and they were getting their bellies rubbed because there were fleas on it. They were dogs last night in the first half. They were. And then they played like the hometown heroes. You know, they ended up tying up the Cavaliers. Cavaliers had to stick with their big guns. Bledsoe played out of his mind.
I'm not going to speak for you, Brad, but me personally, I knew the Suns were going to win that game. Even when they came back, I'm like, the Suns aren't going to win this game. They're just not going to.
You're so negative.
Yeah, it's the truth.
You're so negative.
It's the truth. I love the fact
for our guys.
I love the fact that they came back. Hey. They didn't just continue to roll over. But in the fourth quarter, you just got the sense there's no way the Cavs are going to blow.
Do you see
this.
Where Adam Silver? I know I'm running late, but I'm fine. Do you see where Adam Silver said this last week? The commissioner of the NBA said this last week that they are experimenting with the idea of pay-per-view for the last 4 minutes of NBA games, and I'm not making this up. He is open to having a model where you could just buy the last 4 minutes of an NBA game. It's actually pretty smart when you think about it, because most NBA games are like what happened last night. We're going to take the pedal off. You know, we're just going to slow down here. We know we got this game. And you're asking fans to pay. And instead, if you're on Twitter, and they're going to do this partnership with Twitter like the NFL is doing, except it'll be an alert through social media. Tie game, Cavaliers, Bulls, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever, buy here for $1.99. Now, would I do that myself? Not with this team, okay? And are there stars across the country? Like the other night, I watched Westbrook against Harden, and it was free. It was on TNT. Well, it wasn't free. I had a cable bill. But when I can see certain players that I want to watch further, I'll pay a little bit. I don't know if I'd pay for, like the NFL Red Zone, I would pay for that. If I needed to, I would pay for it. I have my fantasy football, I get it the other way. It was really interesting by Adam Silver because in the final minutes of last night's game, it was some pretty darn good basketball. It was. Cavaliers found a way to win. On the other side, there's a lot going on. On the other side, tonight's the national championship game. And we'll talk about that. Also, the way that you can watch it and consume it. There's so many options for you tonight to do so. While that on the other side, Paula Bova News and Notes. And the great Ken Colburn is in studio today, the data doctor, just back from the Computer Electronics Show in Vegas. He's got four gadgets that are related to sports. I asked him to come in studio to talk about that. I'm Brad Sismat. All right, so tonight we're all going to be watching the national championship game. There's nothing else worth watching tonight. Can't sell me otherwise. Well, there might be something on Netflix, but it is the championship game between Alabama and Clemson. While there's no tie here to Phoenix or to Arizona, I think that as big a college football fans as we are and as much college football as we do on the platforms, National Letter of Intent Day, by the way, in recruiting is in 3 weeks. So as much as we do on that front, we obviously are really excited to have it be here and finally in place. So you have Nick Saban coaching tonight against Dabo Sweeney. And Clemson is, we had Jimmy Vaccaro on Thursday, and Jimmy was saying that as he sees it, it would be Alabama tonight. Jimmy was in on Alabama, right, Eric? If you remember right.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
He was in on Alabama. There's a story today, I didn't put this in my show notes, but there's a story today in the Wall Street Journal that I read earlier today about Nick Saban. When you walk into his house, Nick Saban has a grand piano as the first thing that you see. Now, this story is very, very well written, obviously a Wall Street Journal. A, B, it explains quite a bit about Nick Saban. So he and his wife bought this grand piano when they were first starting out in coaching. They had no money, should not have done it, but did it anyways. Now, these years later, he's a millionaire doing his thing, coaching at Alabama. And the grand piano is the first thing that people see when they walk in. It's a reminder to them of their humble beginnings to where they are now. It doesn't show me that Saban plays. Some of his players do play. When recruits come in, they see the piano. I find it to be a very interesting read to get to behind Nick Saban a little bit more than just a football guy, an X and O guy, that's what his centerpiece is. He actually talks about the meaning of the grand piano when you walk into his house. I know that's not Jalen Hurts throwing touchdown passes tonight, but nonetheless, it's a really good read.
And we can all relate to that in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure at some point during the Sesmatz family growing, you and the wife purchased something and...
We just had more kids.
And maybe, well, yeah, that's true. But
we just
maybe
kept
had,
having kids.
Maybe had second thoughts about, well, maybe we shouldn't have purchased this, but, and then years maybe later say, hey, that
kid.
Was a great purchase.
Maybe we shouldn't have had that kid. Well,
if you're just, you're taking this, I'm trying to steer the car to the left, and you keep taking it to the right.
I know. Surprise. I know. No, I'm trying to think about that. Well, yeah, there's, I'm sure there's things.
A car or
house.
Something.
House. Anything. Sure.
House may be a little bit more expensive than a grand piano, right?
Sure. So ESPN is going to, tonight you have lots of choices, and some of these I'm going to go through with Paula. Some of them I'm going to go through now with Eric because, Paula's here in a couple minutes. The ESPN radio tonight is Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge. Fowler and Herb Street are doing the game tonight. Sam Ponder is doing the Clemson side. Sam's a Valley person. It's good. Tom Rinaldi reports on Alabama. They're going to have their rules expert. He'll be available. They'll have Dr. Jerry Punch available. Basically, they've got like six people as part of this broadcast tonight. But wait, there's more. So ESPN has got the game, and it's being shown on 10 different channels tonight. 10. This is where media is going. And so the first one is... The normal channel, which is ESPN. You can just watch the game as you always have. The next one is called the Homer's Telecast. So this option features Clemson's all-time leading rusher, Taj Boyd, and former Alabama center, Barrett Jones, offering game analysts with a decidedly partisan view. They'll be joined by Joe Tessitore, who you like, right?
Love Joe Tess.
And Adam Amin,
who also does a good job.
Yeah. All four will work from the field level. So they're going to be down on the field doing this. Okay. So that's not bad. The coach's film room. This sounds to me a little dry. It's Mark Helfrich, PJ Fleck, who just took the Minnesota job, Dino Babers, Mike McIntyre, Matt Rhule at Baylor. Now, I don't know. We've had Mike McIntyre. I think it was a year ago. I had Mike McIntyre. I've seen him interviewed. He's fine. He got fired at Cal. Now he's killing it over at Colorado. Fat Mark Helfrich on. Mark is, he's not the most outgoing guy when it comes to analysis. Does this do anything for you? Are you going to watch this one?
No.
Yeah.
All no, right. I don't. I mean, I'd love to see them break down film. I just wouldn't love to see them break down this game while it's going on.
Okay, this one sounds really painful. ESPN Voices on ESPNU. You're going to have Michelle Beadle, who tries really hard to get a lot of attention. You're going to have Keyshawn Johnson, ditto. You have Bill Walton, and you have Marcellus Wiley. Now, because there's no Conference of Champions, I don't get what Bill's going to be adding to this. If they're a Pac-12 team, because that's his standard line, he wears the Pac-12 network shirt and all that stuff. I don't understand where an executive thinks they're going to get any traction off of this, other than, guys, we have 10 channels. So we're going to put Eric Sorensen over on one channel. We're going to put Jared Nielsen over on a channel. We're going to put Haley Stasiak over on a channel. We're going to put Jordan Hamm. We're going to put Brad Sussman. We're just going to fill all these channels.
That's as many channels as we could get.
That's as many channels as we could get right now. Well, we could find some more. We could put the part-timers in. There's the command center on ESPN Goal Line. I've never heard of ESPN Goal Line before. Have you heard of ESPN Goal Line? Is that their soccer channel?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it. A split screen, okay, simultaneous multiple camera views which could include the main ESPN camera angle, the SkyCam, isolated camera feeds at both Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney and Alabama head coach Nick Saban, enhanced stats, real-time drive charts supplementing the game action. The command center was utilized during this year's college football playoff semifinal. I didn't see it. Sounds really busy. But I guess if you're one of those that's into every... There's Dabo Swinney after a two-yard run. I want to see what his reaction was while I'm looking at the stats, while I've got the SkyCam, while I'm seeing a replay. That might work for like the big plays. Don't see it working.
I just want to watch the game. I don't even really need to hear the announcers. Maybe I'll take the wife and we'll go somewhere and watch the game.
Really?
And get some food.
Is that what you're going
to
do?
Yeah, probably. We do that. That seems to be our new little tradition. Just go hit a happy hour somewhere and go to a social setting and see what the people are saying, how the reaction is.
I will probably just watch, but I will sample because tomorrow will be fun. I was over on this channel. It was a train wreck. I may drop in on the Bill Walton one for a little bit just to what are you guys possibly doing here? What is the point?
Good friend of the show, Jeff Munn, just alerted me. Goal line is ESPN's version of the NFL red zone.
Okay.
Well said.
See, Jeff Munn could host a channel. You talked about how many people host channels.
That's true.
Chris Berman retired, or was actually did retire. He's leaving the football side of ESPN as their main guy. This happened late Thursday. And it was met with quite a bit of bashing on Chris Berman. Chris Berman is one of those lightning rod guys. He joined ESPN back in 1979. So 32 straight years, he's been there. And you have to give anybody credit who's been in this industry for that long a period of time. He is a mouthpiece from a lot of people's views towards the National Football League, but that's why he's been in place for 32 years. When you have a big network, you're not going to have everybody sounding the same. You're just not. And I don't want this channel to sound the same. I don't want our platform to read the same. I don't want it just to be we're going to do a story on one kid. Sometimes we get into that trap when the kid deserves it. It's coming up to Letter of Intent Day, and there's some different angles. But by and large, give me the story of the kid who's not getting any attention. It doesn't matter if it's pro, college, or high school. And there are kids in pro playing this day and age. There's a 20-year-old playing for the Suns downtown. Tell me something I do not know about them. But in Chris Berman's case, he's made his whole career out of the NFL is great and his nicknames and catchphrases and all that stuff. And that's just what he does. He is not somebody that I look at and have to dive to a channel to make sure that I hear what he has to say. It's an entertainment piece. It's not a substance piece to me. Okay, that's just me. And I'm just a guy sitting here in Arizona. He's sitting there after 32 years at ESPN. So, my preference is not a big fan. He's still going to hang around and do some baseball playoff games. I can't tell you the last time I watched Monday Night Countdown or watched the ESPN pregame shows on Sunday. I don't watch that. The NFL Network, to me, is infinitely better, outside of Adam Schefter. So, there were people that were saying, what do you think? You know, he's this, he's that. I have to give him credit. Anybody who hangs around this business that long, you give him credit. Paula is next. Speaking of hanging around in the business, she decided to, she's leaving the Republic and nobody's been able to talk to her about it, but I'm going to next. Stay with us.
You the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
It's all good to catch up with Paula Bovin. News Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, now known as Short Timer. We talked last week about how she gave notice and she's bailing out, just running away, rolling over and having the belly rubbed just enough to get into academia full-time, which is very smart on her part. How are you?
I am good, Brad. My first day. I've survived one class so far, so that's good.
For those of you that aren't aware, she is leaving the Republic. So let's go through this. The sports stuff I don't care about, so I'll get to it eventually. I just don't.
Sure.
You've decided after how many years of being a writer, before you're even a columnist, because I've known you even before that, how many years you've been doing this gig?
I honestly started, Brad, when I was in high school. I wrote sports for my high school paper starting at about age 16. So, you know, we don't need to do the exact math.
So like 5 years you've been doing it.
Yeah, something. I did it through college. I worked for the Daily Illini at the University of Illinois. And then as soon as I got out, I started writing. So it's been a very long time. Okay, let's say several decades.
When did you first start to get the itch to go teach and walk away?
So about a year ago, in fact, just exactly a year ago, I taught my first class at Cronkite. I had always been interested in possibly teaching. Thought I'd give it a try. You know, as I've mentioned, I did it on a volunteer basis because I was also covering ASCs at the time, so I didn't want there to be any conflict of interest. So I taught a class of sports grad students who are getting a master's in sports journalism. This is past year was the first year that ASU offered that master's, and I loved it. And I just it's just really rewarding, and there's something about this atmosphere here where it's just high energy. You know, one of the professors they brought in this semester is the editor from that movie,
Spotlight.
The Boston
Spotlight.
Yeah. And the guy who was the editor, who is overseeing the investigative team, he's one of the teachers here. So there's that kind of environment. So it's kind of just gotten my skin and under my skin and wouldn't go away.
All right. So you're leaving the Republic. Here's what I'm getting a lot of questions about. When is her last day at the Republic? Some are really excited for this day, and some are not really excited. You know what I mean? How's this working? How is this working out?
So I will say I am now officially part-time with the Republic as of this week, and I will be part-time with them through the Final Four. So I will have a column during the week and my notes column on Sundays through the beginning of April. And then after that, I'll be done at AZ Central and the Republic, but hope to freelance either with them or somebody else. So I'm not totally going away. I know that's going to disappoint some people. But
your mailbox, from the moment that I got the news, well, you were nice enough, Paula was nice enough to let me know, but your mailbox, since it came out last week, was completely full. Who's gotten in touch with you that you were like, I covered this person and they just never gave me the time of day or I didn't think they liked me?
You know, I didn't have any that didn't like me, but I thought it was very cool. Jerry Colangelo called me, Ryan McDonough sent a text, and then, you know, some former athletes I covered and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was really nice. It's like people when they have their obituary, you know, they don't get to see all the good things that people say about them till after because they're dead. But I'm getting the opportunity in a sense, and it's been really cool. People have been so nice about it.
Is your industry on life support from your view?
The way it used to be is on life support, but the smart places, like I believe Arizona Republic and other newspapers are. The bigger ones, for the most part, I think are kind of figuring it out. It's going to be different. At some point, we may be completely digital and no print product.
Mm-hmm.
But I think certainly within the past year, with all this fake news and all that stuff, I don't know if you heard Meryl Streep last night, and this is not coming from a political place, but to hear someone stand up for journalism was really powerful to me because we've been, you know, people have been all over. But people, I think, really are starting to understand that there's good journalism and then there's crap, you know, and then there's some in between. But from places like the Arizona Republic and Sports 360 AZ, I mean, you're getting people who know what they're doing and reporting. No, it's true. I mean, it's not, you know, we don't want – this world can't survive without – really good journalism. And I think that's what the top newspapers still give you.
Mm. Thanks for that. I'm just wondering, when you're in your class, so how many classes are you teaching? I promise we'll get to some sports for like 10 seconds, but.
That's fine.
What are you teaching now, and what have they told you that they want you to do there?
Well, for this semester, I am teaching two classes, which is the sports reporting for grad students who are getting that master's I told you about. And then I am teaching I think it might have been the class that you taught, Brad, kind of advanced issues in 21st century sports and media. I don't know if that was your class.
Yeah, it was. JMC 474.
Yep. So, and I'm teaching that this this semester as well. And then I'll be also helping out in what they're, you know, what they call their sports bureau, mm-hmm. where students, the undergrads, they apply for it, and they're basically working in a newsroom a couple days a week here at Cronkite, and you're getting your stories published because they have deals with, like, I think Fox Sports Arizona and little newspapers around the state and things like that. So I'll be helping there as well.
That's you're not doing any TV, huh?
No TV. No, no.
No, you're good at that. You're not doing any radio.
No, for now, this is what I'm doing. The, you know, it sounds like two classes aren't much, but they...
No, they are. I, the 474 class, no. Yeah. Hey, the 474 yeah. class, I had 44 students, so that's a...
Right.
That was like, that's a lot.
Right.
It's just
that
a
is,
lot.
That is, I know.
And you sound, I'm going to use a word here because I consider Paula a friend. You sound rejuvenated, okay? Just in
I
talking with you about
this.
That's
a fair word. Yeah, it's just fun to be in a dynamic environment and to see sort of the progress. You know, the students I had last year that were my master's students are getting some cool jobs, and so that's rewarding that you may have played a little role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And more than anything, I'm concerned about the future of journalism, and so maybe this is a way I can help that too. And the great part is they are happy and encourage me to still freelance if I want to. So I'm going to still cover games in town and things like that. So I'm kind of getting the best of both worlds right now.
Yeah. So the Republic's been understanding. It's not like there's the door, get out.
No. They've been great. They have a good relationship with Cronkite too. So I think maybe that's part of it.
All right. Now over to the sports stuff. Clemson, Alabama. Okay. So tonight is the mega cast, and I'm not sure which of the mega cast. You've heard about this, all the different channels and all the different ways that you can consume this tonight.
Yes.
Is there one or two? Let me just go through this real quick with you. Let's see. The data center megacast, on-site graphics, including analytics, real-time drive charts, win probability updates, social media reaction, and more. They're going to put the radio call VSPN over this channel. Would you watch the data center channel? That, to me, sounds like just too many numbers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, I'm big on the sort of second screen experience they talk about where if I can just watch the game as the game itself and then have some other thing I can kind of look at once in a while, you know, maybe not so much a split screen, but another TV set up in my room or on my computer, I would probably go that route.
Okay,
But the social media stuff I love, so I'm all over that.
How about this channel tonight, ESPN Voices? So this channel tonight, ESPN is going to have a channel, this is ESPNU, where it's Michelle Beadle, Keyshawn Johnson, Bill Walton, and Marcellus Wiley watching the game together.
No.
Okay.
I love Bill Walton, but I don't want to hear what he has to say about the college football playoff.
How about the Feinbaum Film Room? This option has Paul Feinbaum, Greg McElroy, Booger McFarland, along with Florida head coach Jim McElwain, analyzing the game on location near the stadium. That one, to me, I wish there were more coaches involved.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, talking heads are fine. You know, you're one of my favorite talking heads, but at some point you'd like a coach analysis. I love anecdotes. For me, anecdotes are everything. If they see something on the field, I'd love to hear a coach say, "We were in this situation. This is what led to it. This was the emotional response afterwards." I'd like to be taken somewhere no one else can take me.
Okay, and that's in the SEC network. Now, this one I think you will like because there are more coaches in this one. You know one of them. The Coaches Film Room on ESPN News tonight. It'll be Dino Babers of Syracuse, P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, just took the job, Mark Helfrich, former Oregon head coach, Mike McIntyre, Matt Rhule at Baylor, Brian Griese is going to serve as the moderator. Now, I'm not a big Brian Griese guy, but those coaches, while they're not the top echelon coaches, that's still kind of where I'd like to be on this one. Does that one do anything for you?
No, that totally does something for me. Because there is sort of informed opinion, obviously, and it's a mix of personalities with that group, too. And I think in those circumstances, you get to see coaches in a way you don't often get to see them. You know, I don't know if I've seen Helfrich very much in a room, you know, talking about that kind of thing. I've seen the sort of his demeanor on the sideline. I know him from when he covered ASU. But, yeah, that one would interest me.
Okay, and one last one, the Skycam. All it is, it's on ESPN3 tonight. This is just a continuous feed of the camera that maneuvers above the field of play. and provides a behind-the-scenes look at the offense and game action. It sounds as though there will not be any play-by-play on this one. It's just a camera in the sky. That's it. I don't know. I don't know anybody that would just watch a camera in the sky, but maybe you would.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to – I mean, I know you get that great sort of big picture of what's going on, but that one doesn't do much for me. Yeah. That would lose my attention pretty quick, I think.
All right, the Suns. So last night they were just awful early, just dreadful early. They were on pace to give up 140, and then they came all the way back. Now, whether it's because it was a Scottsdale night for the Cavs and they ran out of gas, I don't know. I don't know if it's that Eric Bledsoe really turned it on, but can you take anything at all away from a January narrow loss to Cleveland if you're this young Suns team?
Yes, one, because it was a narrow loss to Cleveland, but I think you couple that with what we've seen. I'm trying to remember, didn't they win two games before that? I mean, they've done things a little bit better here in the past few weeks, and they are still maddening, and they are still young, but they're playing their young guys a lot, which, you know, as a sort of journalist watching this team and seeing what they've gone through all these years of just barely trying to make the playoffs, often not doing it, I don't care that they're losing a lot of games if these sort of young guys are doing something and getting experience. And I sound like a broken record, but when I look at a Booker and a Chris and a Bledsoe and, you know, that kind of framework to build around, I still think fans should feel hopeful. I know they've got a ways to go, but it's more hopeful than I've seen them in a while.
Yeah, no,
even as bad as they are.
I would agree with you on that. All right, Professor, get out of here. Now, we're going to keep doing this, or do you want me to fire you? You want to keep getting...
No, don't fire me.
Don't fire you. No. Or you can fire us. Yeah. I mean, either way. But,
yeah, there you go.
All right.
No way.
So Mondays, Mondays we'll get together. Stay well.
Sounds good.
There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes. Short timer, AZ Central sports columnist. Appreciate her time. Ken Colburn's going to come in on the other side. We're going to talk with Ken about some of the gadgets at the CES that are sports related. The Consumer Electronics Show, because guys like gadgets. I'm Brad Sussmat. Right, Ken Colburn is now with us in studio, the data doctor. And you're thinking, come on, Brad, it's sports. It's Monday. I've done enough sports. Well, let's get into sports and gadgets, guys, because that's where you're at. And Ken just got back from CES, the Computer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. He joins us in studio. What is the gadget guy like yourself, the data doctor? What gadgets do you have before we even get into this?
Oh, I just brought a couple of different phones. I got the new Google Pixel phone.
Any good?
It's pretty amazing.
What does it do?
It's got phenomenal cameras.
Yeah.
It actually will compete with the iPhone. The iPhone's kind of been the leader when it comes
so
to
I
camera
can
technology.
Toss this out.
Well, I don't know. Depends. If you're, I'm a Google concentric guy. So all of my calendars, my email, my Gmail, all that stuff. So the Google Assistant that's built into this phone, it's only in this phone at the moment, is spectacular. It is a virtual assistant like no other.
All right. So that was at Vegas.
Well, no, this came out beforehand, but it's just one of the many gadgets that I'm carrying around.
You have another phone.
Well, this is my Sony outdoor phone because I do a lot of outdoor stuff. I needed a waterproof phone.
And then what are those over there?
Oh, this is just something I funded a while back. This is a PIC kind of sport camera. It wraps around handlebars, backpacks, whatever else, and it's a 1080p high def camera that's also weatherproof.
Wow. So because I'm biking again.
Right.
I'm back biking, so
right.
I could do...
You're on it.
I could do bike cam like this, and then when I crash and burn...
Yeah, it's called a Brad cam.
All right, let's go through this. It's always good to catch up with Ken. CES, before we get into the sports side, what was the hot items? What did you take away from up in Vegas this year?
Well, voice commands are... it was everywhere. Virtually everything that was being shown had some kind of component, and primarily Amazon's Alexa was being integrated into home appliances, to Ford's vehicles, to just about everything out there that had the ability to be spoken to.
Okay.
Seemed to be teaming up with Amazon, so they're really pushing hard. It's a three-person race, right? It's Apple, Google, and Amazon all trying to create this new kind of interface, right? No more typing, no more pressing buttons. We're talking to our technology. And that's the huge race right now. It looks like Amazon's winning right now.
And it's going to be in vehicles, so I can start in my vehicle driving to my house 30, 40, 50 miles away, say turn on the air conditioner. check my email.
Well, I mean,
turn on the dishwasher.
Your smart vehicle will actually be so smart you don't even have to tell it anything. It knows you're 2 miles away, alerts the house, and the house just is automatically going to go. But what Ford and Alexa are doing, and this will be out this summer, is anything that you can do in your home with Alexa, you can give the same command in your car and affect things in your home as you're driving.
Vacuum the house.
Whatever you want to start, right? And vice versa, right? So you could be having your morning coffee and say, Alexa, how much gas do I have? It'll go out to your new Ford vehicle, do a quick check and tell you, you know, you need to stop for gas on the way in. So then you better leave 10 minutes earlier.
What's the line I saw from Charles Barkley up in Vegas? Because I saw him at CES and they were asking about all this. He said, I love all this technology, but it's just making our asses fatter because we're sitting around more. It was just beautiful.
Which is
why. There's some truth to that?
Well, I think that's up to the individual, right?
Yeah,
sports tech that we looked at certainly is all about activity and encouraging activity and recording those activities. So, you know, I think if we're predisposed to be that, you're probably... Chuck, if that's how you roll, so to speak, yeah, you can use technology to enhance that. Sure.
Ken Colburn, the data doctor, in studio with us just back from CES, and there's some football tie-ins, some sports tie-ins that I wanted to bring to the audience. You sent me a note about connected sport clothing.
Yes.
Is now a hot deal. Walk us through this. I think we have some pictures too.
Yeah, so think about the traditional like chest straps that were used to kind of monitor heart rate and what have you. Those things are not comfortable. You know, they're just there. So this new clothing is like a second skin that has all of this built into the clothing, completely washable, and is able to monitor all of those vitals as you're working out. And so the collection of data is really what I saw happening in the sports world. It's that data that helps you understand what your core body temperature is, how fast you're running, what your pace is, stamina, all these things that data can help us. You know, we started with the Fitbit, and that was nice. It gives you kind of some basic parameters
right, for
knowing how active you are. This is going to the next level. And certainly professional athletes will be able to make use of this kind of data, and that'll trickle down to all of us.
Okay, Tom Brady's pajamas from Under Armour. What was this all about?
TB12 PJs. It's based on actually ancient Chinese medicine, ancient Indian medicine, the palm healing. Remember the Karate Kid where he slaps his hands together and rubs them real hard?
Yeah, and then he helps
to heal the wound. There's actually some truth to that. It's called far infrared. And that technology enhances your blood flow, and it's designed to help you recover quicker while you're sleeping. And the fact that Tom Brady's endorsing this allowed them to call it TB12. That's the name of the clothing, right, that you wear. I'm assuming he's tried it, and he's saying, this works for me.
How much? Do you know?
I don't know. I know it's on. It's actually available on the Under Armour website. So if it's something you want to look into, and you're really, you know, into that, trying to rejuvenate your body quickly.
You're into Tom Brady.
Tom says it works.
Yeah. Of course it does. Hearables. What are hearables?
So we know about wearables, right? Like the Fitbit or anything where we're wearing. Hearables kind of are the same thing. It's something that's in your ear that does more than just provide you with sound, right? If you think about it, from the standpoint of monitoring your body temperature, your heart rate, there's not a better place to do that than your actual ears. So why not have something that's multi-purpose? You want something wireless so that you can listen to your music while you're working out, you're running, you're jogging, whatever else, and then have it be your Fitbit. You don't have to wear anything else. You just have that one set of electronics in your ears. It's going to provide you with your music. It's going to monitor your heart rate. It's going to tell you your endurance. And all of that stuff that we want to gather. And things that the Fitbit can't do because it's in your ear.
Isn't there a chip on the tip of your tongue for all this? Isn't that where we're getting, like a piercing?
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming, it's right? Coming. I mean, I'm kind of being facetious, and I'm kind of not in that regard.
Well, there's already people experimenting with that on themselves just to see where they can go with this.
Okay, last item, Intel's 360-degree replay.
This is pretty amazing technology. You've seen the virtual reality headsets that are everywhere. A lot of people are going out, it's for gaming or whatever else. Can you imagine? Intel showed this at this year's show. They basically got everybody in a room. Everybody had their own headset and got to choose where in the arena they wanted to watch this basketball game, like right on the floor. And it's a full virtual reality 360. You move your head around, you're seeing the people next to you. You're literally right there on the court, and you can make decisions to choose and change seats, The virtual scoreboard kind of floats around. So it's a whole new way to be anywhere in the world and feel like you're right there in the arena.
And you can do this for concerts, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what I've heard on that is if I want to see Madonna in London and I'm sitting in Gilbert, I can just order it and put my goggles on and I'm there.
That's one of the many uses that we're seeing on there. So from a fan standpoint, I'm more interested in that than I am in gaming. I know that gaming is really what's driven this thing. But from a fan engagement standpoint, that seems pretty compelling.
Good stuff. Good seeing you as always.
You bet.
It's always good to see Ken Colburn, the Data Doctor. You can check him out online, datadoctor.com.
Data Doctors.
Data Doctors.
We are many.
Put the many doctors, which is good. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out at sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Doesn't matter if it's pro, college, high school. Things we see a little off-center. Our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. Thanks for being with us.